Frenzies, it's episode 64, and on today's episode, we are going to dish about how to survive the first week of school, because I just survived it, and I hope that you can learn from all of my mistakes and mishaps. It'll be a lot of fun. I hope you take away a lot from it, and yeah, I pretty much wrote an outline of all of my best tips and tricks for getting through this first week back to school. Going on year three of this pandemic. Oh, yeah. Let's get on with it. Are you feeling a little burnt out and exhausted this school year? Healthy Teacher, Happy Teacher podcast is here to get you through the hard weeks. We will be tackling tough topics while addressing self-care tips and tricks to help you live your best life. I'm your host, Jessica Martin, a coffee-drinking teacher and tech coach working on my own health journey as I pursue happiness in my teacher life. I am so happy you're here with me today, and I can't wait to share all the things with you. Let's get on with the show. And here we are, Frenzies, together at last. Me and you, you and me, hanging out wherever you are right now. I appreciate you being here. I hope that you're having a splendid summer or whatever season you're in right now. I hope everything's going well for you. I just finished my first week back to school, and I survived because you can hear me talking. I did kind of lose my voice on Friday a little bit. It's kind of coming back a little rough, so if I sound rough around the edges, yeah, it's because it's back to school. I made a really long list of everything that I think you should keep in mind if you are heading back to school this next week or the next week or the next week, whenever you're heading back. I want you to think about these things. These are things that happened to me or things I wish I would have done or things I did. Just some things to keep in mind so you have a smooth transition back. First of all, I think the most important thing is your own self-care. Planning out your outfits the night before, getting a meal plan together, planning your breakfast, pre-making your lunch, plan out your water. Also, I think a big part of your self-care is, what are you going to do if you have to go to the bathroom during class? I mean, we've all spent, you know, summer break doing whatever we want. And a lot of us taught online almost all year. I taught in school for about 6 weeks of last school year, and the rest of the time I was at home. And if I wanted to go to the bathroom, I just showed a little picture book movie and I went, right? Can't really do that in real life. So have a plan. What are you going to do if something happens and you really got to go? Who can you ask in your hallway, or what's the protocol at school? Because, I mean, we're all getting back to it, and it can be really rough on your body and your mind. And why worry about that kind of stuff? I would highly recommend bringing some Imodium pills. Those are the anti-diarrhea pills. I know that sounds funny and weird, but sometimes when you're all anxious and worked up, your tummy can get upset. And then if you don't have that at school, you might spend the whole day miserable like I did 2 days this week. I recommend, like, pack yourself almost like an overnight bag, right? Like anything you'd bring on a weekend trip, you might want to bring it to school with you this first week. Imodium pills, Tums for heartburn, wet wipes because that school toilet paper does not feel good. Whatever soap makes you happy because the school soap, not the best. Extra masks because it's not just you wandering around a store anymore. There's a lot of stuff going on. You're going to need extra masks for different things. Yeah, just bring yourself a ton. Tylenol, headache medicine. And here's something I wasn't quite prepared for. Kids kind of smell weird. And there was a couple times I was sitting at my desk and I was like, did somebody poop their pants? And I teach fourth grade, right? If I taught kindergarten, I would be like, oh, you know, of course someone pooped their pants. It's kindergarten, or of course someone didn't wipe. But like in fourth grade, you're not really prepared for like weird poopy smells. And I'm really sensitive to smells. So at one point I did bring in these little discs I got at Bath and Body Works. And I use them in my car. They're like little car air fresheners. And I kind of sniffed them. Like sometimes I just put them right in my mask. I'm just going to be honest. I don't know. I mean, I even wrote the counselor like, hey, I think maybe someone pooped their pants. I don't know what to do. I mean, I don't know. Like, I think kids just, like, if you were teaching online all year, I mean, it's been like a year and a half. You just, if you get, I have 31 students, you get them all in a room together, and there's going to be funky smells. The bigger they are, the funkier the smells are. But I know really little kids can smell weird too. It's just something I kind of forgot, you know, like I sort of blocked that part of teaching out of my memory. So I would highly recommend, like, if you are sensitive to smells, get yourself some smell good stuff that you can breathe. Oh, we've hit a ton of fun topics. But anyway, this is all a part of your own self-care. It's all about making you feel happy, healthy, good, prepared, right? All right. So let's talk now about how to, you know, getting ready for the kids. Things that I think that you should keep in mind, maybe things you might have forgotten. Sometimes your brain gets a little hazy over the summer, right? Am I right? First of all, the first thing I do, as soon as I get my class list, I print several, maybe like 20 of them, right? You need it for everything. If you work in Infinite Campus like I do, you can go to reports, students, and click the blank report. That way you don't get like a million reports with like their address and their phone number and their parents' email. Some of those are good to have too, but sometimes you just need a blank list of all of your students. That's the first thing I would do if you're just going, like, getting kind of prepared, is get those class lists printed. And then what I do is I type out every kid's name on like a half sheet of paper, really big. I hang up a list of all their names on the door, and that's how they're supposed to line up to go to lunch, you know, fire drills. Obviously, you can't really think that fast in a fire drill, as I found out on Friday, but... They're supposed to line up in ABC order. So I have an ABC order list on the door, really big. And then I use those same labels to label their desk, label their folders, label, label, label. Like, the more they know where to put stuff and what to do and where to go and what's what, the easier your life is. So some people aren't big labelers, but I am. And I don't even use labels. I use half sheets of paper with their names really giant, so I don't have to squint across the room. I can see everything. I have it for my behavior management system, their name tags, lining up every day. So yeah, anyway, that's what those are the first two things I do, is just have lots of lists and lots of labels. All right, let's see here. So here's what I use some of my lists for. I had a list just for parent notes. Got a whole lot of notes from parents the first day, and I do put them in a little folder, but then I just wanted a quick at a glance, like, why did the parent write me? What was their problem, right? Then I had a list for how they get home, a list for using at the fire drill, which I just put in like my little fire drill backpack. If you don't have one of those, you should get one. I have a list for Code Red because that's in the fire drill backpack. So, which I guess I would also use for Code Red. But anyway, just like an open list, a list for people that are absent before lunch and after lunch, and just a list to carry in my pocket at all times. So anyway, so something to do, lists and labels, very important. Next, so now you're set up for the first day of school, right? You got some activities, some copies made. We will talk about that in a little bit, but the kids are coming in, right? They're coming in. The first thing I do is you need to have a way to get their attention. So you kind of need to plan this before the first day starts. A bell, an instrument, something that makes noise. Have them practice talking and then hearing the bell or whatever your noisemaker is, and do it over and over. Like, okay, everyone, I want you to just talk to each other, you know, or pretend to talk to yourself, blah, 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 blah. And then do your, whatever your instrument is for getting their attention. It's just so important that as soon as you get them in the room and they sit down, they know when you need them to be quiet. They know the signal. So, and if there's any first year teachers watching out there, or well, rather listening, this was one of my boo-boos I made my very first year teaching. I just didn't even think about it. I had a really small class, and I just thought, well, I mean, there's only like you know, it was like 16, 17 of them and one of me. Why would I need a bell or something? Like, I'm in the room with them. But as time went on, I needed something to get their attention, right? All right. My next tip, start out with a bit of fun all about you. After you establish that attention getter, you want to jump into some fun stuff, ease their minds that you want them to have fun, that this year is going to be fun despite all the challenges of the pandemic. It will be tons of fun. You want them to be successful. You have big goals for them. Just that you really want to kind of drill it home that, you know, you're going to be fun. This year is going to be fun. You want them to succeed. You want everyone to be happy and healthy. It's just a good way. Like, you actually have to tell them, like, hey, I care about you. It's another mistake that I've made in years past is not being explicit with me saying, I care about you because I'm your teacher. They actually need to hear some of these words, and we think that they're just implied because we're the teacher, but they really need to hear them again and again and again to try to build that trust. So that's my next little tip. Now, I don't really jump into rules. A lot of people, you know, after they introduce themselves and do this or that, a little fun activity here or there, they kind of jump into rules. And the only rule I jump into the first and second day, bathroom procedures and supply procedures. So like, what do you do if your pencil breaks, or where do you find a piece of paper? And then what's the bathroom procedure like? Because everyone instantly has to go to the bathroom. Works like a charm. Just come to school and you're going to have to go to the bathroom 5 or 6 times a day. So anyways, I think that this time, like if you just focus on bathroom and supplies the first few days, you can sort of bond with the class, observe their behavior. You get to know what kind of class they are. You can't just assume every class is the same, which I think is silly when teachers like print out all their rules before they even meet the people that they're serving, right? You don't know what they're going to be like. Some classes are kind of shy and not that noisy at first. Some classes are like instantly messy little tornadoes, right? Some classes are instantly kind of aggressive with each other and hands-on. So you just have to get to know the class. Some classes are perfect little angels. Only happens once a decade, but it happens. So anyway, you can kind of observe them before you make up all these rules that they're going to live by, right? You might as well observe them, get to know them. I had my class write down a bunch of ideas for rules on the fourth day. I'm like, okay, tell me what kind of rules do you think we should have? Because by the fourth day, I was feeling like, all right, I see you have problems with this and you have problems with that, right? And you as a whole group have problems doing this kind of activity. So I was kind of observing them for a few days. And then I kind of handed it over to them. And I said, all right, go ahead and write down your favorite classroom rules. And I'm going to give you, you know, 5 or 6 minutes to write those down. And then after they were done, I had them circle their favorite classroom rule. And then I went around the classroom. We kind of brainstormed rules. Then they had like a list of 10 or 12 rules. And then they went and picked their 5 favorite rules to be our main classroom rules, the ones that we focus on. That way I felt like they sort of had ownership over the rules. So anyways, going back to those procedures for supplies and bathroom and all that, definitely one thing you're going to want to look into if you have any students being serviced by special ed department, you're going to want to make sure there's nothing on their IEPs about, you know, do they have unlimited range to go to the bathroom whenever they want? Do they have certain supplies maybe that they shouldn't have or should have? That's something that just pops up every year. It's one of those things you just kind of forget about, like, oh, okay. And, you know, of course, you're going to make whatever accommodations are on the IEPs. Well, that's what they call them here where I live. Their individual education plans. They might be called something somewhere where you live. They might be called something else. But you know what I mean? Like if your special ed students or any of the students, maybe you hear from their parents or something, I've had a lot of kids with medical problems, and they need to be able to go to the bathroom whenever, and you need to know who they are. And you also kind of need a delicate way of telling the class, like every time they tattle on those people, right? So it's just kind of good to have in your back pocket. All right. Supply procedures. I always get rid of my pencil sharpener in the beginning of the year because I feel like kids are just a magnet to the noise. They're just like, where's the pencil sharpener? They just love it, right? They're almost obsessed with putting their pencil in there and making it so sharp they could shank someone with it. And they just get obsessive with it. And so I just get rid of the automatic pencil sharpener, and I tell the students to just trade me a pencil, and then they can also use handheld sharpeners. Now, sometimes I bring the pencil sharpener back. It just, once we're really in a routine, we have a system down for everything, and there's a pattern going on in the classroom, a nice flow sort of, then maybe the pencil sharpener can come back. But it's such a huge distraction, the electronic ones in the beginning of the year. And there's just like, even if you make it a rule, right? Like, hey, don't use the pencil sharpener while I'm talking. They just can't stop themselves. And I found this in every single grade I've ever taught. Kids are obsessed with going to the pencil sharpener. It's just like this, it's this weird addiction or something. I don't know. It's really bizarre. They should all put it on their Christmas list because they'd be so happy to have their own pencil sharpener at home to use whenever they wanted. All right. Let's see here. So yeah, I trade pencils. I keep a whole bunch of sharpened ones in my desk. When they come to me with a broken pencil or sometimes like not so sharp pencil, I just trade them out. The next thing I do, like, okay, here's where you get pencils. Here's where you get paper. Here's the bathroom procedure. I show them where all the trash cans are. You should have several trash cans placed around your room. I had my first projectile vomiter this week on day 3. I had a kid come up, and he's a real little guy, and he was sort of like, I don't really feel that good. And I'm like, okay, well, my usual go-to is go put your head on your desk for a little bit, and if you still don't feel good in a few minutes, I'll call down to the nurse, right? After they tell me what's wrong. And so he put his head down, and then 5 minutes later, he's like, I threw up in my mask. And then he was like all over the floor right in front of me. And then all the trash cans were on the opposite side of the room. So I'm like, get to the trash can, get to the bathroom. I didn't know what to do. It just kind of blew my mind a little bit. And he took like 2 or 3 steps, and then he'd puke again, 2 or 3 steps, and puke again. It was everywhere, over everything. It was pretty unreal. And I wish like if I had a trash can on that side of the room, then I could have directed into that. That would have been a lot better than needing the whole room cleaned. It just wasn't something I was thinking. And that comes to my next tip, is be prepared for the unexpected. Like, I totally didn't think someone would puke all over my room on the third day of school. That wasn't really in my game plan, but I did have a backup activity plan for emergencies. And now I know that I'm always going to need to have like a spare, like backup activity that you can do outside. Maybe you could fill some, you know, your bag with some puzzles, group activities, definitely put a bell or a whistle in it and your class list. And I always throw my cell phone in there. So I have a little bag now just for like pukey times, because you never know when it's going to happen. And, you know, it's one of those things like sub plans. You never need them until you need them, right? So anyway, what I did, I did put pictures of this up in my Instagram stories, but I grabbed some paper, some tape, told the kids to grab their pencil pouches that had their scissors in them, and we headed outside. I had a class list, and we just left. Kids were all just, they were kind of screaming a bit because they were pretty, pretty unhinged over this puke everywhere, right? So I just tried to get them out the door as quick as I can, but knowing I needed an activity out there because I didn't know how long it would take to clean the room or anything. And I wanted them to still be engaged in learning or doing something. So anyway, I took them outside. I divided them into little groups and I gave them each a sheet of paper, scissors, and some tape. And then I told them we were going to have a competition to make the longest chain, like the kind of paper chains you would put on a Christmas tree or something. And I had to show them a picture on my phone, but they all got to work and the afternoon went just fine and they cleaned the room and everything went great. But I'm glad I had that kind of backup activity in my back pocket because I might have been kind of flustered just letting them play for like a whole hour, you know, because it did take about an hour to get everything done. So I'm glad that I had that. All right. Here's my next big tip after the old puke bag-a-roo. Kind of goes back also to that whole like making yourself a little bag for like if you're like a little overnight bag at school, you know, bringing all your different medications or things that help you survive, right? Well, maybe not everything, but you kind of need these little bags for different occasions, kind of. It's kind of like, I guess it's kind of like being a bag lady. All right, let's see what's next. Okay, so once you get everything set up, here are my biggest tips for planning. Like, what do you do all day long? You should have your names down. You got all your class lists together. You have a way to get their attention. But what do you do with them all day? Some schools, they have a plan for exactly what to do. Some schools don't. Some schools use curriculum right off the bat. Some schools don't. But suppose like my school, the first 2 weeks of school are just team building activities, get to know you type stuff. So then it's kind of like, okay, what are you going to do with everyone? So what I like to do is I plan in 15-minute chunks. I do a book for 10 or 15 minutes, and that includes me like looking at all the pictures. I either have the book, like I find someone reading it on YouTube. Every single book I've ever looked up is on YouTube. Someone's reading the book, right? Or Storyline Online is also really good for picture books. Or if I can't find the book on YouTube, then I take pictures of every page of the book on my phone, turn it into a PDF file with an app called Photo to PDF. You can find them. They're really easy to find. And then I can have the book on the big screen as I read it. So everyone's kind of like staying with the book and seeing the pictures really big. So I think that's sort of important, especially if you're teaching older kids like me. You got to keep them engaged, and there's not always room to have like circle story time. Like I have no room for that in my room, especially with social distancing now. So I need to have the book on the screen, either through a video or through like a PDF file. So we do a little pre-reading of the book, looking at the pictures, analyzing the pictures, reading the book. That's like a 10 to 15 minute activity. And then I have questions after the book. For about 15 minutes, I walk around the room with my little microphone. I'm like, all right, you know, and whatever the book is about, I'll have some questions about it, right? And usually there's a theme to the book. And this last week, they were a lot to get to know you kind of. There was a lot about names and bullying and proper behavior in school, friendships, and a lot of like, oh, there's a new kid in school, you know, what do we do? Or how have you felt like the new kid? Or have you ever been disappointed? Just a lot of that, those all up in your field type questions, right? And the kids just have so many stories to tell about them. But of course, a lot of that, you know, getting them to talk is a lot of your presence in the room, sort of like opening it up to them. And if you slam them with all those rules in the very beginning, they might not want to gab with you for 15 minutes, right? They might be kind of still scared of you. So anyway, that's what I do, is we do a little around the room book talk is what I call it. And they can discuss any part of the book or topics in the book. Then I do a fun activity or game for 15 minutes, and then I give them some sort of independent work for 15 minutes, and then I sort of repeat this. I feel like 15-minute increments break up the day nicely. I definitely recommend buying yourself some TPT back to school packs. I use mine first because I like it the best, and I'm actually adding some pages to it today. So you can find that in my TPT store. I do believe it's called just engaging back to school activities for 4th through 7th grade. I just like using my own stuff because I'm just so familiar with it. So I go through my pack first, but then I'll use other sellers' packs that I really like. I really like Shelley Reese's back to school pack. And then Christine Nannini has a bunch of like logic puzzles and activities that are just really, really good, kind of little 15-minute fillers are what I call them. And of course, I highly recommend just getting to know like your grade level experts. So for me, people I buy a lot from, Teaching with a Mountain View and Rachel Lynette, I buy so much from them just because I know everything I'm going to get is just awesome. And yeah, I have a lot in my back pocket, but you know, I start out the year with back to school packs. And I buy them just like whatever I kind of look for, maybe four or five to start out the school year. Like I said, I always start with my own, but you know, you have a lot of time with these people. So I'd rather have more activities than I need than not enough. And I've had some people buy my back to school pack or like some of my stuff, and they say, oh, there was too much to do in there. And I was just like, all right, well, I did it all in 2 or 3 days. So it's like, kind of depends with your pacing, right? Depends with your pacing and what else you have planned. But I plan one activity for 15 minutes, and then I always have them like put it in their folder when we're done and we move on to the next activity. I notice after 15, 20 minutes, they get pretty restless. I teach fourth grade. So I don't know, just an idea. Go get yourself some back to school packs. You need a handful of them. All right. So again, pre-reading books, look at the pictures, make predictions, read the book on YouTube or a PDF file on your screen, discuss all the pictures as you go, have a class discussion of the book, move on to an activity that hopefully ties into the book. Like I have random activities for independent work, but then I try to have activities that tie into the book as well. So like we read a bunch of books about names, and then I gave them a little license plate activity that's in my back to school pack, and they came up with like a name for their desk and or like a license plate for their desk, you know, so their desk felt like unique, like the characters in the book. I don't know, just an idea. And then we also read some books about people's lunches or eating traditions and just respecting people's food that they bring to school. And then I had them cut out a little lunchbox and draw everything that was on their lunch. And I play this little game where I stand in front of the room and, you know, whatever they draw on their lunchbox. I have a similar activity in my back to school pack with like t-shirts, but like in the lunchbox activity, I just have them draw a little food and stuff. And then I read all the food in their lunchbox and we try to guess whose lunchbox was it. A lot of times they do guess right too. And a lot of times there's really interesting, creative food in these lunchboxes. So they really love this game. And so, yeah, I have them all stand up and I'm like, hey, if you don't eat salami sandwiches, will you please sit down? And there'll be a bunch of kids still standing, but a bunch of people will sit down. Okay, if you don't eat mustard on your salami sandwiches, will you please sit down? And that more people sit down. And the idea is that, you know, you go through everything in the lunchbox till everybody sits down. And then one person should be standing, and that should be whose lunchbox you have. I also do this with t-shirts. I have everything that they love. And I'll start with really general things, you know, like who loves their family? Stay standing. Who loves their cat? Oh, a bunch of people don't have cats, so they have to sit down, right? You kind of get the idea. You can do this with a million different things, and they love it. They go wild for it. All right. My next tip is be prepared that everything will interrupt you. Admin, the office, kids, emergencies, coworkers, paperwork. And the more of these back to school packs you have printed and ready to go, the easier it is to divide your attention to these things that are interrupting you. Because, you know, the kids know, like when another adult comes in the room and you kind of like turn your back to talk to them, they, you know, like really like if they're that once in a decade class, they're going to be really cool about it, right? But if they're, you know, a little bouncy, they're going to take that opportunity to bounce off the walls while you're talking to whoever's in the room. So the more I hate to call it busy work, but, you know, the more little engaging activities you can have in your back pocket for them, the better. Like I never regret having too much. I only regret having too little. All right, let's move on to my last final tip. Okay, here's my last tip for you. Don't despair. The first week is rough for everyone. Seasoned teachers, new teachers, admin. Expect the unexpected. Expect that you might have someone throw up all over your room or a parent go a little woo-woo on you, right? Or that someone's going to snap at you, or that, you know, the kids' behavior are just not what you were expecting in certain situations. A lot of things happen and you just have to kind of go with the flow. Some days are really good and some are really bad. I had so many blips, you know, where I was just like, whoa. I mean, it's really weird being around people again. And like, some people are not very good with their emotions. They're just really awkward or inappropriately behaved, according to me. maybe that's, you know, kind of, I know that's really one-sided, but like sometimes, you know, people are going to rub you the wrong way and you just have to sort of like live and let go, I guess, and just know that like the school year is a process. It's like this really bumpy road. It's like a roller coaster. It's a ride that you go on, and it's not like a smooth linear line. There's like all these ups and all these downs to it. And I mean, your main goal is trying to get these kids to, you know, be where they should be with their learning and improve their learning. That's the big goal. By the end of the year, you want to see some growth, right? But there's a lot that you have to go through, you know, mishaps with parents and coworkers, admin. You're going to be dealing with other adults and you're just going to think, whoa, like, what is wrong with them? And the key to staying a healthy and happy teacher is to not dwell on other people's behavior, because there's not a lot you can do about it. I mean, you can try to control your class and you can set up good community in your classroom and good rules, but it still might not always go the way you want it to. And a lot of teaching I found is just like learning to let go of what you just don't have control over. And if we're being honest right now, nobody really has complete control over a large group of people and everything they do, right? I mean, there's so much out there like, oh, the teacher is so central and means so much. The teacher controls everything. It's like, you're kind of putting a lot on one person to do so much with dozens and dozens of people. Like, no other career is quite like that. I mean, maybe politicians in a way, but I mean, they don't have all their constituents in one room, like yelling and screaming all the time, right? This is how I imagine constituents would be in a room, in a classroom. So what I'm trying to say is you kind of have to like learn to shrug things off, brush them away. The more confrontational you get with people, the more you end up regretting it, right? So like a lot of times people are going to blow up with you at you one day because the school environment is so stressful. And then 2 days later, they're going to act like they're your best friend. It's just the way that school environment goes. And I know if you're a seasoned teacher, you sort of know like the way things are run in school. But if you're a new teacher, or maybe you're at a new school, or you know, maybe you've had a lovely experience up until this year, just know like the pandemic has changed people and they're not that good at communicating and they're not very good at controlling their emotions. I've been put off quite a few times by adults and kids this last week. Just like, whoa, all right, this is a different universe, right? But you have to kind of look at it as the whole journey. Like, look at it as a roller coaster. Lots of up and downs. It's a ride. It's a journey. Tons of bumps. And you have one goal, and it's trying to get every single person in your class to improve on something. That's always my goal anyway. You're like, okay, from the beginning of the year to the end of the year, you're going to improve some area of your life. I can't promise you it's going to be reading, writing, and math, but I'm sort of hoping for it, right? So anyway, and here's just like one example I want to leave you with. I had kind of an ill-behaved student for a couple days, and I was just thinking, what is up with this guy, right? Like, he's a little off. This is going to be a challenge. What am I going to do? Sort of even thinking about it at night, right? Like overthinking it. And then on Friday, he came up to me and he gave me a big hug. And he's like, I'm so glad I'm in your class. I really like you. Glad you're my teacher. And then it was just like, I don't know. It was sort of like a light switch flipped. And there was something on that fifth day, just me being there, that told him he could trust me and that I was a trusted adult. And now things are way better, you know, and sometimes that's what it takes. Like the beginning of the year can be rough because I think people just don't really trust you. Like even if you've been at a school for 10 years, like the parents, they don't know that always, you know, like maybe they know it, but a lot of times they don't. You're just a new adult in their life and they're not really ready for that. So, you know, with the parents, coworkers, your bosses, the kids, you're like this new intrusion in their life and you're making a huge difference in their life, but they're not always accepting of that difference or, you know, what you want to do or, you know, every little thing can be misinterpreted. And it's definitely hard. I always call teaching the ultimate customer service job. And it takes a very even keel person who could work customer service for any company to really succeed, because you're dealing with a lot of personality types, all different ages, all different problems. And you're sort of juggling all those, trying to keep everybody happy, trying to keep the status quo going, and, you know, just trying to survive yourself, right? So that's kind of how we're going back full circle, is like, there's things that are going to go wrong. Don't despair. They're happening to everyone everywhere. It's a part of the job. Plan out your self-care for the week, your outfits, your meals, all those little extra pills you're going to need. You know, sunscreen, umbrellas, hats. I mean, plan to be outside, plan to be inside. Have a little tote bag. Like I said, an overnight bag, and you don't know where you're going. Bring it all with you. It's better to have like a backup bag with you with things you're going to need than be kind of lost or have a really bad day over something, like an upset stomach or something. So always think of yourself first. It's sort of like being on the airplane when the little oxygen drops down, you're supposed to put it on yourself first and then help other people. Like if there is no you, then how are you going to help all these people get better at reading, writing, and math and social studies and science or whatever you happen to teach, right? Like how will you help them if you can't help yourself? So put yourself number one this week and do whatever it takes to make it so you just have a smooth, easy day, and just keep putting yourself first. The more you put yourself first, the better the teacher you're going to be, because the more energy and vibrance you're going to be able to add to your classroom environment and to your school. But without putting yourself first, you're not going to have that energy. You're not going to have the vibrance. You're going to feel beat down and you're not going to get much done this year. So start out fresh the first week of school saying, I'm going to put myself first and I need my own self-care. Like I need my needs met. And in order to meet my needs, I'm going to need to do this list every day of getting these things done, right? Whatever it happens to be. That's just for me. There's a lot of those things I forgot this week, and then I was sort of miserable during the day, and it led to other problems. So anyway, frenzies, I hope that you enjoyed this episode and you got something from it. Thanks for listening to my sort of hoarse voice. I will be back with more info as the school year goes on. Yeah, just keep being you, keep taking good care of yourself, and everything will work out. It always does, right? Right? All right, frenzies, until we meet again, so long. You've just finished listening to Healthy Teacher Happy Happy Jessica. What? Oh no, I don't know how to stop.